Amen. Count on me, Lord. And this is, let's just happy Good Friday. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good afternoon, and welcome Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Good Friday service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Good Friday service, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Good Friday service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation of scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And our proclamation is why we are here proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Scripture reading today is Ephesians 1, 3 through 11. That's Ephesians 1, 3 through 11, titled Spiritual Blessings. Okay? And it reads, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we just ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity just to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word will lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many, many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. Lord, we just thank you. And dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Amen. Okay, now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O. Thank you.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was the devil. Thought I was the devil. Oh, you thought I was the devil. You thought I was the devil.
Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. We give thanks today, for this is a great day that the Lord has made. And amen. Talking about rejoicing and being glad. Amen. I'm having a little bit of difficulty here. My computer decided to cut itself off. And so I'm having to, amen. Now I decided to cut itself back on. So, amen. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and Lord have mercy, we are already back. So we thank God for that. Amen. Praise God. Wow, it looks like everything got there. We go. Now we're all the way back. Amen. This is what we call Good Friday. And it's strange that we call it Good Friday because of what happened on this Friday. You know, I was reading my book the other day because I used it to prepare myself for this Friday and for this Sunday, the messages that I'm going to be preaching, the one today. And, you know, we call it Good Friday. And then on Sunday, we're going to talk about the Jesus, the lost 40 days. And amen. And I just thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because when you really slow down and you really take some time and you really look at what he did for us, yes, he did it for all of us, but you know, if you by yourself somewhere right now, you know, you can say he did it just for me. Amen. Every one of us can say that he did it just for me, making it personal. And then we can also say he did it fraternally. He did it for all of us. But Jesus had to, I'm going to preach later on. I ain't going to preach right now. I'll let Donnie McClurkin go ahead and sing his song. Go ahead, Donnie.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that emblem. Your chain, but it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery, and the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross, my Savior died, the Lamb was crucified, showed us love that this world had never known. Oh, what love divine, so divine, true love you never find. So that we might live, love came. Well, the cross will always wear
Amen. When you listen to that song, amen, it cries out for a response. If Jesus came and did it just for me, no, we can't pay God for our salvation. We can't pay him for his son that he gave to us. You know, a child was born, but a son was given, and we can't pay for that. And God knew we couldn't pay for that, and that's why he asked Jesus, where do you go? And so Jesus came, and he did it just for you. He came, and he did it just for me. So the question begs to be asked, what is our proper response to what Jesus did just for you, just for me, just for us? How do we respond to that kind of love? I mean, what can we do? You know, I got a song. It's a favorite song, one of the favorite songs of my cousin. His name is Larry Smith. Amen. And he gave me this song and a list of other songs. And I think this song is the proper response to what Jesus has done for us.
Father, I just want to stop for a minute and just say I love you. Just want to tell you thank you just for being patient with me and just for giving me another chance. You've always been there for me, and you were the father that I never knew. I just want to say.
My hands were made.
Lord Jesus.
My soul,
my soul can see.
Can see.
My purpose.
My purpose has been changed.
When I did this.
When I called out your name.
Do you love him? We'll say that again. Just wave your hand and say, your touch. Jesus, your kiss. And your grace. Your grace to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus is deeper than. Bless your name. My soul can see. Let me tell you what happened.
My
it changed.
Has been changed.
When I got down on my knees.
When I called
out your name. Anybody here love my Father? I said anybody here love my Father? Is it worth it? Come on. I give you, and I give you.
And when this world
has come
to
win,
and paradise,
when I see your face, when you call for me, Father. You'll wipe every tear, Father.
Begin.
And this is what he'll say.
Well done.
You'll say.
When I see your face.
How many want to see him someday? Oh, don't play with me. How many of you want to see him one day? Open up your mouth and say hallelujah.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. thank you, Pastor. You know, you always take us there. We just thank you. We thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. It's a good Friday, which takes us the time to talk to God, only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Finally, selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Deacon, Sir Charles Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our very own Deacon, Sir Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
I love you. Let me hear you say, spend. Do you love him in here? Do you love him?
Amen, amen, amen. I'd like to end of that song say, do you love him? Do you love him? Look, right now we're at the throne of the true and living God. I want you to understand something. Even though today is the day that we, I don't want to say celebrate, but the day that we recognize that Jesus went to the cross for us, we also look forward. We also know that he didn't stay on that cross. But what we have to come to understand, too, you know, I like to talk about the scapegoat. I like to talk about how when back in the early days when the children of Israel were walking around in the desert and we weren't allowed to go into the presence of the true and living God like we are right now. But what would happen was that the priest would get a goat and they would go to the people and the people would tell them, the priest, what was going on with them, the sins that they had committed. And the priest would take his hand and lay his hand on the goat and at the same time pray all the sins of the people into the goat. And then, after they had prayed, they would take the goat out into the wilderness and turn him loose. But sometimes that goat would come back. Can you imagine what it was like to go before somebody and put your sins in their hands, and then all of a sudden they came back? Well, after that goat come back, they would take that goat sometimes after he came back, and they would take that goat and walk him off the cliff so that the sins of the people would return no more. What you have to understand on this day is when we recognize that one came from heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, came from heaven, like they like to say, took off his royal robes, came down only on our behalf because there was nothing that could be done, nothing that could be done to get us into heaven, to make us right with God, because that's the only way you get there, through God's righteousness. But he came just to make it right, a perfect man without a spot or a blemish, came and sacrificed his life just for us, just for you, for me, for everybody, so that we might be able to spend eternity with God. And spending eternity with God means partaking everything that the Father has for us. Lord God, our Father, we come to you right now. And we kind of coming to you today about some problems. But Lord, we have no problems if we have you. If we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we don't have any problems. Because when Jesus came and gave his life, Lord, I can't help but think how, you know, Jesus, you took a beat down for us. You came and took care of every sin, everything that we had done that we just knew we couldn't be saved from. You opened the door so that we wouldn't have to worry about anything. You tell us in your word, don't worry about anything, to pray about everything. But you came so that we would be able to just live these lives and to move on into eternity with you. But in Isaiah chapter 3, Lord, we read that you were bruised for our iniquities, that you were slaughtered like a lamb back in the sacrificial days. And when we look at the movie that we have here, The Passion, that comes out, that doesn't even come close to what you had to take. If we read in your words, you took a beating because of us, Lord, a beating unto death, but yet you did not die. Repeatedly, just on our behalf, Lord. And why? Just because you wanted us to have eternal life, life forever with you that begins when we accept you as our Lord and Savior and carry on into eternity. Like I said, there was no way we could do anything to deserve that. We don't deserve that right now. We do things right now that have caused us to be where we are right now, coming to you, asking you to fix it for us again. Lord, you fixed it. You fixed it. So I pray that we recognize the fact that it's already taken care of. But more so that we recognize what it is that you've done for us. You came down from heaven and took the form of a man to walk in our shoes. Not that you didn't know, so you would be able to feel just what we feel when we're going through these lives. And even though people might say that was years ago, no, it's very present right now, Father. It's still here. The things that we do that we shouldn't do, the things that we say that we shouldn't say, the places we go, the people we see, the way that we don't praise you on a regular basis, Father. And you still love us. But when you said in John chapter 17 that you had finished the work that had been given to you to do, I know we say on the cross, you said it was finished. But in John chapter 17, before you went to the cross, you told your Father, the Lord God, our Father, you told him that I finished the work that you sent me here to do. But you had to go through the rest of it. And Jesus, we thank you that you did. So you could have left here anytime you wanted to. You could have said it's all done. But then again, too, you couldn't have left because it wouldn't have been completed. But you did this. But today, Father, Jesus, we recognize what it is once again that you've done for us. And that's everything. There was no life after death until you came and dissolved anything that was to keep us from not having eternal life. And not only did you open the way for eternal life, you adopted us into the family. You said that we were your brothers and sisters in Christ. The Father calls us his children, just like he did you. And we can't think of anything, at least I can't think of anything that's greater than being able to be known as a child of God. Yeah, we got some problems going on here right now, Father, but nothing at all. We should have no concerns. You know, I like to talk to you. We should have nothing to worry about. You told us. You was going to prepare a place where you could be with us always. You tell us to cast all our cares on you because you care for us. You told us to seek you first in your kingdom. And all the things would be added to us. Father, we get caught up in cars and houses and money and things like that, Father, but they just things. That's all. Father, let it be that we recognize this day, whoever it is that doesn't recognize, let it be us that call ourselves your children. Let us come to the realization that you already taken care of us, but you also said, just like Jesus said, that he had finished the work. Father, let it be that we be about the work that we're supposed to do. Because you've taken care of everything else. Father, I know there's some out there right now that's listening that's worried. But you tell us not to worry about anything, to pray about everything. You tell us to cast all our care on you because you care for us. But, Father, right now I can't help but just think about what day it is for us. It's the day that you gave your life for us. And your word tells us that we wouldn't even think about dying for somebody else, maybe for a good man. But this was something that you said you would do, and you decided to do it, and you did. The great part about it now, Father, is that even Jesus, even though we have to remember this, you're not doing this again because it's already done. So even though today we are sorrowful because what you did for us, we get to recognize, we get to know that it's taken care of already. But we're not making light of what it is that you've done for us, Jesus. Not at all. It's that song itself. Jesus, you're our everything. The cross, you did it just for me. We need to make it more personal in our lives, the relationship we have. Because, see, you're alive and well. You were a man here. You were seen. You were seen not just while you was walking this earth, but after you rose from the grave. So we need to recognize that you have walked in our shoes already. You know everything that we feel and everything that you go through, but you're God himself. So you've already taken care of it for us. Right now, Father, right now, Jesus, we just say thank you. Thank you for what you did for us. Father, we ask right now that the messenger that's coming, and I know, Father, I got to just say this. I know he's your messenger. I talk to this man every day. And he works solely for you and nobody else. But just like each and every one of us, let it be that our desire is to work just for you because you did everything for us. Everything that we have, Father, came through you. Even though we've lost some things, it still gets replaced. But just like you had to come here for them 33 years and walk this earth, and then 3 years that you had your public ministry here, you had to wait yourself to go back to the Father. You see, you told us too in your word that you and the Father are one. So Father, let it be that we come to the understanding, let it be Jesus our Lord and Savior, that we come to the understanding that not only are you and the Father one, but you decided to be one with us. Yep, like I said, we have problems, but they've already been taken care of. We have situations, but they've already been taken care of. Because of the day that we're celebrating today, everything in our lives has already been taken care of. You see, you know the hairs on our head. You know every day of these lives that we're going to live right now, that we're going through right now. But help us to understand this, that while we're going through, we win. No matter what goes on in this life, one day you said that you were going to prepare a place for us where we would come to be with you and we would never have to go through this again, and that you was coming back to get us. See, right now we're talking about when you went to the cross. But let us look ahead to the time that you're coming back. The sky could crack open at any moment right now. It could happen right now while we're talking to you. But it's going to happen. Because the one thing that we know about you, you can do anything but fail, and you don't lie. You don't lie. Lord, I can't imagine life without you if you right now. Because the life that you changed for me, just for me, and the same thing that you did for me, Lord, you'll do for anybody. All we have to do is believe, accept and believe. You never promised us these lives were going to be easy. You never said. You told us we was going to have trials and tribulations, that things was going to happen. But you also told us to be of good cheer. So while we're waiting for you to come back for us, Lord, because you come in one day, let's be about to work like Jesus said. So we can come to you one day and say, Lord, we've completed those things that you've told us to do. And get that well done, good and faithful servant. Because I know right now, Jesus, you're seated on the right hand of the Father. And you've been restored completely. Matter of fact, the Father is resting. You're in charge right now. And it's a wonderful thing to know that you are. Even though right now we're sorrowful on this day, it's because we need to continue to recognize what was done for us. But we also know, too, that even though you're going to the cross today, and even though you're going to that grave, you're going to get up because you're already up. And how do we know this, Father? Because your spirit lives inside of each and every individual that believes that you went to that cross, that you took that beating for us, that you came here, that you did everything that we're talking about right now. And that you're coming back to get us one day. Let us just stay mindful of the fact that we're your children. There's not a father alive anywhere. I pray that it's not. That we're not doing anything for their children. And we get to look at you. We've been adopted to your family. You're our elder brother. I love it when Pastor John calls you our elder brother. But if we know anything about the oldest child back in the time that you came up, if father was not present, the older child took the place of the father and the responsibilities that went along with us. So let us be about those responsibilities that you've given us while we are here and always stay mindful of the fact that not just who we are, but whose we are. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you right now. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love that story about the scapegoat and just this is power in prayer. And we just thank you. We thank you for praying and making our requests known to God. We appreciate you, Sir Charles Tate. And have a good Friday, okay?
Amen. Yeah, goodbye. You too.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Excellent service. Excellent. I am just really and I hope you are too. You know, first I want to just say happy anniversary to the Runner for Christ Ministries family and congratulations to the awesome Pastor O, Lady Sheila, Shebe, Baby Holy Ghost, and, you know, just for 20 years of serving the Lord, just faithful. Servants of God. And, you know, we will be celebrating Runner for Christ Ministries 20 years of serving the Lord the whole month of April. Okay? That's a blessing, 20 years. So happy anniversary, Runner for Christ Ministries family. Okay? All right. So I just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person for this Good Friday service. And if you have enjoyed service and the service that we have for Runners for Christ Ministries, let others know that these services are happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Have a good Friday. Okay. All right. Hey, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own sister, Rebecca Johnson. Prepare to receive Sister Rebecca Johnson. Come in her own way with our introductions, okay? Amen.
Thank you. unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You paid it all.
Sacrificed his life so we can be free. He did it all on Calvary just for me and you. Oh, Lamb, I give my life. I give my love. I give my all to Jesus. He paid it all up on the cross. In accordance with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Our pastor's sermon is titled, why we call it Good Friday. I am Sister Rebecca Johnson, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation. He has asked me to read this passage, Matthew chapter number 27, verses 45 through 56. So that's Matthew chapter number 27, verses 45 through 56. It reads as follows. At noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, this man truly was the Son of God. And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you for joining us on the Blog Talk Radio broadcast on this Good Friday, where we look forward to receiving a new understanding of the Word of God through an obedient messenger of the Lord. Our pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall, preaches from the book of Matthew. Repeat after me, Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. Greatly appreciate you and that awesome introduction. And be sure to tell your benevolent husband who showed up on me at the shoe shop and kind of took care of everything. Tell him we said, hey.
I sure will.
Amen. Amen. That is awesome. You know, I always sit in anticipation of what I'm going to hear because that's going to set the stage for me which way the Lord wants me to go. And the Holy Spirit always shows up and gives me the direction that I need. And it's amazing how Deaconess June Rogers, who usually reads for me, and her substitutes, Rebecca or Crystal or whatever, it never ceases to amaze me how the Holy Spirit gives them something that's going to speak to me, even though they don't know what I'm going to speak about. But he puts them right in there and gives me that last little bit of confirmation that I need to get past the gazillion butterflies that show up every time I got to preach. I don't know where they hang out the rest of the time, but they show up when I got to preach. Amen. You know, they're like, you know, you get some fruit in your house. And you didn't have no gnats before, but now you got gnats, okay? They're like, amen. It's sort of like that. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. And Jesus, this is an awesome day. I know you're alive and well and sitting right there in heaven, you know, making intercession for us because we kind of messed up. So you're doing that constantly. But there's enough of intercession in you to intercede for us because you did it all. When you got up on that cross, you took sin and tore it up instead of sin tearing you and us up. And we thank you for that, Lord. Help us now to understand why we call this Good Friday. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours, but I'm here today to hear your word so that I can be transformed, change the way I think, so I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life is. Amen. All of us should seek that out. What is God's will for my life? I know when we get saved, we get real happy, and we figure out that God is truly God and all-powerful and got everything and can do anything. You know, I'm getting disturbed. I am disturbed by our music because every time we come to Easter or any other time that has to speak the gospel, there are really not that many songs that talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They all, if you listen, let me say it the way I say it when I talk with Jesus about it. We beg a lot. We beg a lot. It seems like once we get saved, all we want Jesus to do is just come in, give us a bunch of money. We try to say it ain't about that. That's all it's about. And our prayers point that out. Every time we pray, they are not filled up with about saving souls, teaching souls, or helping somebody in or outside the body of Christ. It's all about what about me. And your prayers tell the truth on you. You can't change them. They've already been prayed. Jesus got every one of them. Were they about saving souls? Or were they about your current situation or whatever is troubling you at the time? Amen. So we need to think about, more about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because we ain't even telling nobody about Jesus no more. We don't even see the urgency anymore. Amen. Jesus' death on the cross is just something we talk about in conversation. Come around this time of year, the rest of the year, we don't even understand what that death means. Jesus, one time, some people went through a whole lot of trouble to catch up with him. They had to cross the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. They had to hire some Tiberian ships and pay them so they could get to the other side, which was about a two-hour journey, to catch up with Jesus. And when they did finally catch up with Jesus, you know what Jesus said? You didn't go through all of that to catch up with me because you understood my miracle over there. You did all of that because you want some manna from heaven. You want free food for the rest of your life. You just want some more fish sandwiches. That's all you want. You don't really want me, because later on in that chapter, after Jesus told them who he really was and his connection to the Father and why he was here, you know what they said? That stuff is too hard for us to listen to. And they all walked away after having spent all that effort to catch up with Jesus, all that money to hire those Tiberian ships, when Jesus told them about who he really was, they couldn't even receive it, and they walked away. Then he looked at his own 12 disciples that he picked and said, "Will you also go away?" But Peter said, "Lord, where will we go? You have the words that lead to eternal life." Amen. And Jesus, you know what Jesus said? Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Lord, have mercy. We all know that was Judas. Amen. It's amazing. If Judas had believed in Jesus, he would have known Jesus knew about his little plans and his unbelief. And you know how many folks, you know, my pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., you know what he said? He said the worst way to go to hell is through the church. To sit there like Judas did in every sermon, every Bible class, got a job from Jesus, you're the group treasurer, okay? He went out with the 12, did miracles, okay, commanded demons around, and went straight to hell. Amen. That is the worst way to go to hell, right sitting on a pew, and go straight to hell, die and go straight to hell. Been in church every Sunday, but never, ever accepted Christ. Amen. It's amazing. You find out what people accept when trouble comes. How did we get here? How did we end up at Good Friday? How did we end up with a sinless lamb, a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, a man who had committed no crimes? And all these little fake trials they gave him, they couldn't find nothing against him. They even suborned perjurers who couldn't even agree with each other. Their lies contradicted each other. How did we end up here? How did we end up with the Jews carrying Jesus to the Gentiles so that they could do what the Jews couldn't do? We can't crucify nobody. We can't kill nobody. This man we found is committed blasphemy, and we want to kill him. But we can't do that. So they bring in the Pilate. And Pilate even figures out that they have only brought this man to me out of some kind of jealousy, some kind of envy. Pilate has figured out he has not broken any of the laws of Rome. The Pax Romana has not been violated by this man. He's done nothing to upset the natural order of Rome. But they wouldn't stop. They were insistent, and they scared Pilate, because if you wanted to frighten a Roman governor, all you had to do was threaten them by saying, look, we need to contact Caesar and tell him there's an insurrection happening over here in the province of Judea, and your boy, your governor, ain't doing nothing about it. You need to come check this out. And Pilate did not want to hear that. They scared him when they told him, look, we have no king but Caesar, God's people, who's supposed to be a theocracy. We have no king but Caesar. Wow. Wow. You completely disown God and claim Caesar as God. When some of the Romans who were standing right there around the crucifixion said, surely, and they all held the Roman emperor to be God. At this time, Roman worship is going on, emperor worship. But they're saying this man is God. But God's people, wow, how did we end up here with Jesus on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour? How did all this happen? How did it culminate in this? To answer that question, you need to go all the way back to Genesis. Amen? Because it started there. It started all the way back when God created the heavens and the earth in chapter 1, right? And then in chapter 2, he fills in all the blanks. He puts some meat on the bone. He tells us how he did everything he did in chapter 1. Because in chapter 1, God is known as Elohim. That im at the end makes it plural, meaning more than one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the act of creation in chapter 1, and that's all you get. It's like an outline. But now come the subtopics in chapter 2. This is how God did it. And his name changes over in chapter 2. It becomes the Lord our God, or Jehovah, Yahweh. Amen. Why is the name, what's different about, what is significant about that name change? Because in Elohim, there's no relationship. God's not dealing, God's creating everything. So that's theology. But in chapter 2, we get what's called theology proper. Why? Because now God's dealing with man. He's a relationship. So now God's name changed to a name that reflects this new relationship. Jehovah, Lord. The one who gets to tell us what to do, the one who is over us, the one who runs everything. He is Lord of heaven and of earth. And we all know the story. God created the man first. There was no woman. God just created the man. So we had a single man under God. God gave the man a place to live, the garden. God gave the man a job, keep and dress it. God gave the man a rule or a law to live by. His word, don't eat from that tree. But that one over there, the tree of life, you can eat it all the way to the bark. You can eat all that. The man didn't want none of that. So man is a single man under God, following God, living in the place God gave him to live, doing the work God gave him to do, observing the rule, the law that God gave him to observe, and everything is just fine. Then God creates, he recognizes that the man cannot procreate, he cannot pull off what Genesis chapter 1, 26, 7, and 8 talks about. Be fruitful, multiply, increase in number, subdue the earth. He can't do that by himself because God didn't make him able to do that. He ain't a seahorse. He can't have babies, being a male. And so God has Adam to name all the animals on the planet. Comes to the conclusion that not one of these can be my wife. But Adam's not looking for a wife. But God recognizes in order for us to pull off what we said in Genesis chapter 1, 26, 7, and 8, this man going to need some help. And so God causes the man to fall asleep. God performs the first operation ever to take place on this earth. He performs surgery. He opens Adam up. I don't know what God used for a scalpel, but he used something. It's because Adam was sure enough knocked out. He anesthetized him, and he was cut. Can't get to the inside of Adam without cutting on the outside, so he was cut. And the Lord our God, the expert surgeon, went in there and snatched out a rib without killing him. And he closed up the flesh. Later on, God would teach man how to do that. So he closed up the flesh. And he took that rib that had been made from the dust of the ground, because that's where Adam was made from. So he took some of that dust, put it on top of the dust. And from that, he created what we call today woman. And now we have a man who is single under God. We got a woman who is single under God. Both of them are under God. Both of them are in the place that God placed them in, and they are both totally content and happy. Then God brings the woman to the man, performs the first marriage on earth, Genesis chapter 2. And now they're living together in the garden. Ain't no shame in their game because they were both naked, and the Bible says they felt no shame. Why? Because they were married. But that's a whole nother sermon. That's why you feel funny when there's relations taking place and you ain't married. Amen. Don't worry about it. He paid it all. And this ain't about that. Then we come to chapter 3. And the Lord tells us that the devil showed up. But see, the devil can't function in this realm, amen, without somebody to function in. See, God functions in this realm through us, right? Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, so God affects his will on earth through us. He's affecting his will on earth through Adam and Eve at that time. So the devil cannot operate in this physical plane without a physical body, and there was no other humans to get, and so he got a snake. Now watch this. The devil went and found the shrewdest of all the wild animals. In other words, the smartest, the best, the brightest, like Judas. He was the best, the smartest, and the brightest of the whole group and went straight to hell. The devil went and found the smartest thing God made outside of man and possessed it. And watch the power of the devil. The devil made the snake able to do something God didn't create it to do, talk. The devil got permission from God to use the power the devil already had to teach the snake how to talk, to give it a brain so it don't operate by instinct, but be able to reason. Oh, yeah, when you slow down and read and pay attention instead of just trying to please God that you read the Bible, but you actually slow down and look at some of these things, you'll see, yeah, the devil got some power. When you see the devil dealing with Job, who was a Genesis character as well, when you see the devil dealing with him, You see him with a lot of power, because one of the things the devil, all he asked God for was permission to get at Job. He didn't ask God for power to do what he did to Job. He already had it. Like Dr. Tony Evans, don't get scared because, you know, oh, the devil got power. Yeah, well, like Dr. Tony Evans say, he's a dog, and he's a big old mastiff pit bulldog. Bite down fences, chew up cars, play with them. He play with semi-trucks, throw them around his mouth. That's how he is. But let me tell you something. One word from Jesus through us, amen, they get scared every time they hear the name of Jesus. So Dr. Tony Evans say, yes, he's a big old large dog and got a whole lot of power, but he's God's dog. God let him loose in the garden. Why? Because he gave man a law. Now man, God can't make man keep that law. Man's going to have to keep it. Just one. Ain't that, imagine this, we got a Bible with one verse in it and we can't keep it. Most of us would never remember it because we don't even read the Bible. The rest of us can't remember nothing because everything else is important. It's like Jesus said, some seed fall on the ground. They ain't going to produce nothing because there's nothing in there to make it grow. Some seeds fall on shallow soil on the ground. They're going to grow, but when the sun come up and heat that cement up, they're going to wilter. Why? Because they're not deeply rooted. And then some, most of us are this seed fall among this kind of Christian. They are so concerned with the things of this world that the word of God can't even find root in them. It just gets choked right out. Can't even find the ground because the cares and the deceitfulness of riches has just choked the word of God right out of them. Oh, but there's that good soil. There's always a piece of good soil somewhere that's going to produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Everybody ain't going to produce the same, but they all going to produce. So the serpent, the devil, smartest thing God made. Amen. Right? Satan decides to use that. And so he comes to the man and the woman. He got to strike up a conversation. And what does he say? Has God told y'all can't eat from any of the trees in the garden? Not Satan was there. He was the one floating around in the darkness that was upon the face of the deep until God brought light into his little dark world. What'd that tell you? We live in Satan's world. We live in the place where God kicked Satan out of heaven. Well, God created the heavens and the earth in that place. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and you better believe Satan was in that darkness. Amen. So if you walking around still dealing with the deeds of darkness, the things that are not of God, you better believe Satan is in that. And if it's not for the Lord, he's going to destroy you with that. But if you're a Christian, though, right, all things work together for the soul. Even if the Satan do come and tear up stuff like he did on Job, guess what? Double for your trouble as soon as you get your head together. Prodigal son lost everything, or did he? Because as soon as he got his head together, he went back home, and guess what? Had everything all over again in his father's house. He tried to go back home and be a slave. But his father said while he was listening to his confession, go get the boy some sandals. Feet look like Ashy Larry. Bring some lotion, too. He's kind of rusty. Amen, dusty, like Pastor Sarah Tate. That boy came home, he was dusty. Amen. Need some lotion on him. The father of the boy continued to make his little confession. The father says, go get a robe. Put it on him. He's confessing to his father. He wants to be a slave, but his father is ignoring him completely and robing him as a son. The father said, go get a ring, a signet ring, one that has authority to do what I tell him to do, and put that on his finger. Lord have mercy. Y'all remember when Haman got Xerxes' signet ring and he went wild with it? Well, who ended up with the signet ring? Your boy Mordecai. Jesus don't be playing. He ain't never played. Amen. Mess around and get towed down. So, amen. So the boy got redressed as a son. Amen. So don't worry about it. How much messing up you do. All things work together for the good. But that boy did go through some stuff down there in the far country. Okay, the straightaway sheep went through some stuff too. And the lost coin had to be in the situation for a while till it got found. So it ain't never fun being straightaway lost or walked off. you're going to go through something. But in all three cases, Jesus restored them to the bunch, so don't worry about it. Amen. So Adam and Eve having this conversation now, well, actually, Eve is having a conversation with the devil. He's already upset. Pastor Jonathan Tate preached from chapter 10, but if he had kept right on to chapter 11, the devil went in there and upset God's alignment. Didn't I tell you God created who first, the man? Then I told you God who created who? The woman. So here's God's alignment, the man. The woman comes under the man's covering. She's all the way out from under the covering, and she answering the door, talking to the devil. And Adam, I don't know what happened to him, but he has become the very, very super-duper passive responder. And he's just listening to this whole conversation because he's within earshot because he was within hand-him shot. When Eve got through talking with the devil, she handed it to him and he ate. So he wasn't miles away. He was right there. You know what's funny about both of them? They must didn't like God. Because the devil didn't have to talk. If you timed the conversation he had with them, amen, somebody time this. Here's the conversation the devil had with them. Now time this. Somebody look at their clock. Okay, mine is on the 35. Watch this. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the fruit of any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it or you will die. I don't know about the touch it part, but I know he said don't eat it. You won't die. Wow. To say that means God lied. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that you're old. So now God got an ulterior motive for why he don't want you to eat. Listen, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will look like God, knowing both good and evil. Or you'll be like God, knowing both good. In other words, can't nobody tell you what to do. You'll be just like God. You can do whatever you want because you're God, and God don't want you to be God because nobody tells God when to get up, when to go to bed, when to eat, when not to eat, what to do, what not to do. God is God, and you're going to be like him. You can determine for yourself what is good and evil. Now, look, we do that all the time. God said don't have sex before marriage. I think we determine that to be wrong, and having sex before marriage is right. Yeah, you see how that thing worked? The woman was convinced, so she saw that the tree was beautiful and it looked good and delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. That whole conversation, even though I commentated in the middle of it, took a minute. 1 minute. And the devil wiped them out. In 1 minute, they left God. That tells me they just was looking for a way to leave God. Because how do you talk to somebody for 1 minute? Okay, I've never counted how many words were in this conversation from the King James, NIV, NLT. Okay, but it's not that many. Conversation lasted 1 minute, and they walked off. How many know the devil is a lie? Because as soon as Eve ate, nothing happened. Yeah, you thought something happened, didn't it? Mm-mm. Then she gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate too. And at that moment, why Adam? Because God gave Adam the law. Adam gave Eve the law. Eve didn't have no covenant with God except under the cover of Adam. So why would God go after her? God didn't show up until after Adam ate. And when God showed up after Adam ate, what? Sin make you crazy. You ever notice when you, before you sin, you're real bold about it. You're kind of sketchy. It's kind of sketchy, okay? But then you get bolder and bolder, and then you do it. You ever notice right after you do it how crapped out you feel? That's how Adam and Eve felt. All of a sudden, their eyes came open. See, when we want to sin, we go blind. We like Stevie Wonder. We can't see nothing. We go straight blind. But after that sin is over with, all your senses come back, your vision is back, and you know that you have sinned and you ain't finna win, and you know you got to pray tonight. You know you're going to have to get on your knees and talk to Jesus before you go to bed. You're going to have to get up and say, thank you, Jesus. You're going to have to talk to him. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He going to show up. The Lord showed up and started looking for Adam. And Adam hid himself from the Lord. And the Lord called to the man, where are you? It's not like God was blind and not omnipresent right there with Adam. What he meant was, why are you no longer in covenant with me? You have broken covenant with me. We're no longer on the same page. Everything is no longer very good. Everything now is crapped out. What is this? And what did Adam do? Well, the woman that you made, she gave me from the tree and I ate. All of that is true. But that is not why he ate. Okay? And God goes to the woman to look for a confession from her. What does he get? Well, the snake that you made smarter than everything else. He tricked me. You know, I don't know much. I just got here. Adam ain't tell me everything. Okay, he told me everything, but I can't remember all that. The snake tricked me, so I ate. Neither one of them confessed. Neither one of them are seeking to get back into God's good graces. They're trying to lie. And it's not my fault. It's her fault. It's his fault. It ain't my fault. Yeah, I am like this, but it's their fault. Did you notice that both of them blamed God? Wow, that is a lot of nerve. They both blamed God. The woman that you made. The serpent that you made. Wow. It's your fault I'm tore up like this. I ain't asked to come here in the first place. Now I'm here made out of a rib. I don't even know what that is. I'm over here walking dust and talking dust, and now all of a sudden I'm in trouble. I ain't even asked to come here, but guess what? You're here and you're in trouble. So anyway, God placed some punishments on them since they would not confess. You know, thank God we got 1 John 1:9, right? And it ain't based on feelings, it's based on reality. If I accept that, if I agree with God that I have sinned, that's what that word confess means in the Greek, that I agree with God I've sinned, well, guess what? That's all I have to do. But neither one of them did that. They tried to talk their way out of it. I am tore up from the floor up, Lord. I'm tore up. But it ain't my fault. How many times has somebody made us hit them? How many times has somebody made us cuss them out? How many times made us? No, they ain't made you do nothing. You're trying to blame them for your sin. Just like Adam and Eve, we get it rightfully from our mom and dad. Amen. They get it from their mama. They get it from their daddy. Whoever we got it, we got it. So God goes through a series of inspective questions with them, giving them multiple opportunities to confess. Who told you was naked? Well, I don't know. His answer to that question was retarded. Okay, and then asked the woman, what have you done? Her answer to the question was retarded. Again, just blaming somebody else. So since they wouldn't confess, the Lord told, remember the question is, how did we end up here? How did we end up on this cross? How did Jesus end up on the cross when it was Adam and Eve who sinned? How did Jesus end on the cross? Amen. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed more than all the other. He's literally talking to the snake because he let the devil use him. Don't let the devil use you to do evil, because God going to punish you for it, especially if you belong to him. Us, because you entered into idolatry in the first place by worshiping the devil enough to do what he said. Then you're going to get punished for what you did. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. When I first got saved, back in 75, a friend of mine who I used to hang with because he was a comedian, lived in the Rouge, named Johnny. And both of us was jokesters, but he was actually professional at it. I was just willy-nilly with it. Okay? Anyway, I got saved, right? Everybody on the block knew it. Johnny came up to me and punched me in the chest. I grabbed Johnny, threw him into a building. I grabbed Johnny again because he didn't die, and I threw him into this other building, but his head missed the wall. Then out of the corner of my eye, I saw a car coming down the street, and I heard a voice say, throw him in front of that car. And so I took Johnny and threw him in front of the car. It wasn't until after I did all of that, I suddenly figured, I thought first something wrong with my salvation. I told the Lord it was his fault. He shouldn't have hit me like that. The Lord told me, now I'm going to have to punish both of y'all. Because, see, I could have turned the other cheek because that's what he told me. He said, you say he turned the other cheek, then he punched me. Well, I ain't turned the other cheek. I turned the other cheek all right two times, three times. But anyway, it didn't work. But I know, amen, what Adam and Eve felt like after they did it. And they're having that same feeling. They're having that same feeling. And so since neither one of them wants to confess, and here's as we come to a close, since neither one of them wants to confess, okay, the Lord takes over. He just takes over. Amen. He tells them in 3:15, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will bruise his heel. That's how Jesus ended up on that cross. This is God's way of restoring our relationship. God says there will be this, the devil will always hate us. He don't just hate us Christians. He hates all mankind. He wants them all dead. I once saw somebody with a T-shirt that said, kill them all, let God sort them out. That's the devil's plan, kill every single one of us. And God knows who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. So he has caused hostility to exist between all mankind and Satan. And then it goes further. It says there'll be a distinction between those who serve you and those who serve me. And we see that played out as early as Cain and Abel. Okay, Abel serves God, Cain don't. We see that played out with Noah. Noah, his wife and his three children and their wives, eight people in all, they serve the Lord. The rest of the world don't. We see that all the way throughout the Old Testament, those who serve God and those who don't. And those who don't often attack God's people continuously. All you need to do is read the Old Testament. And then when you come to the New Testament, the folks are still under the Old Testament economy, and so they are still going through the same thing. Satan has had them under subjection after one kingdom after another. Ever since the Babylonians, they went after the Babylonians, they were under the Medo-Persians. After them, they were under the Greeks. When Jesus comes into the world, they're under the Romans. And so there's a hostility that exists between Satan and all mankind. And there's a distinction between those who belong to God through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and those who don't. But in order for Jesus to crush Satan's head, I pray that you get involved and listen to some of the past classes that Pastor Janice, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate has been teaching in our Saturday Sunday School and Sunday School. Get both of them. Get in them. Amen. But she's been talking about how when it says here, he will strike your head. Okay, that means Satan's, when you hear that word head, it's talking about kingdom. It's talking about authority. It's talking about rule. And when we fell in the garden, Satan got to rule over this whole earth. Okay? And now he's the prince, the power of the air, the ruler of this world of darkness. But we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. But Satan runs this. So when it says he will strike your head, right? That means in order for Jesus Christ to break Satan's grip over us, his authority over us, Satan's got to strike his heel. And what Pastor Janice Tate has been talking about is how political Jesus became to make those folks angry enough, to give them reason enough to intimidate them enough to put him on the cross, to provoke them enough. He intentionally provoked them by the things he was saying and doing, and those things that he said and did ended them up on the cross. Just like Stephen, Jesus would be on that cross because of crimes against the Torah and the temple. The accusations was, this man said, I'll tear down this temple and rebuild it again in 3 days. That statement alone was enough to get him crucified. But the very fact of saying that he was the Son of God, when Annas, a Jew, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us who you are, Caiaphas, right? Jesus says, I am who you said I am. And this is when he tears his robe and becomes so offended that Jesus just got to go to the cross. But here's the reason Jesus is up on that cross. So the question that begged to be asked, how did he end up here? How did this man from Nazareth, who never did anything wrong, how did Mary's baby boy, how did Joseph's son, how did this man who fed 5,000, 4,000, opened the eyes of the blind, raised the dead, healed the lepers, how does this man end up on the cross? So we could be saved. That's how Jesus ended up on the cross, hanging from the sixth to the ninth hour. That's how Jesus ended up around 3 o'clock, yelling out in a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? God had to turn his back on Jesus. If the Lord our God did not turn his back on Jesus, Jesus could not have died. But his humanity, the Bible says that he took our sins into his flesh. All the sins from Adam all the way up past the rapture, until the end of the millennial reign of Christ, were placed on him at that time. Can you imagine that? You know how you feel when you commit one sin and you feel bad about it? Well, imagine all the sins of history, the history of the world before the rapture, okay, and even past the rapture, before the millennial reign of Christ. All those sins. And even those who are going to sin after the thousand-year reign of Christ and rebel against him and his kingdom. All those sins on him all at once. You heard Deacon Charles Tate talk about that scapegoat. Imagine Israel was 2 million strong at that time. Imagine 2 million sins being placed on that one goat. You know, people say Kurt Franklin going to hell because he said the lamb will bow down to the goat. The goat is the greatest of all times, and that is the lamb. Amen. If Kurt Franklin going to hell, boy, the devil really need to find some better servants, because all he do is sing about, talk about Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so the bystanders, thinking that Jesus is about to call for Elijah, because they, all the Jews, believed that Elijah, if you got in real trouble, Elijah, since they didn't bury him and he just rode off on a chariot, they assumed him to still be alive. And so they felt like when they got in big trouble, Elijah would show up. That is why they said, he's calling for the prophet Elijah, so Elijah could come and help him out of this difficulty. Then they gave him something to drink while he was on the cross. We don't know if they were mocking him or if they were having compassion on him. Sometimes they would take a certain kind of drink and it was like a narcotic. And in that case, I guess they were being merciful. But then again, it would just extend their time on the cross. And usually, amen, they would let you stay there till you rotted off. But they wanted to see if Elijah was going to come and take him down. Now watch this, and I'm going to come to a close. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. And the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city, and appeared to many people. Don't miss this. Jesus shouted out again in agony. And he had to stay in that agony until his father said, okay, the debt is paid. And he released his spirit. So the Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Gentiles didn't kill Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. His life and death was in his control. And when God said the sin debt is satisfied, he released his spirit into God's care. So how did we end up here? From the fall in the garden. That's how we ended up here. That's how we ended up. That is why Good Friday is Good Friday. And I want you to notice something. From the garden, and we don't know how much time elapsed between the garden and the flood. That could have been a billion years. We don't know. But we do kind of know how many years it was from the flood to our present day. But don't you miss this. Nobody was able to make us right with God in all that time till this time. That is why we call this Good Friday. Because we would have been stuck in sin. We would have been eternally separated from God, our Father in heaven, forever if it had not been for Jesus. And what he did on that cross on Good Friday. Yes, every day was bad until that day. And now every day after that can be a good day. Why? Because we are saved. We are in Christ. Sin debt is completely paid. And there is now, as Romans 8:1 tells us, there is now. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. And that is why we call this Good Friday. Even though Jesus had to die, he had to die so he could crush Satan's grip, sin's grip over us. Romans chapter 1 says, we're no longer slaves to sin. And the latter part of that chapter tells us, but we are now slaves to Christ. Just as we were slaves to selfishness and sin and self-satisfaction, now we're slaves to Jesus Christ, and we do everything to satisfy him because he has totally satisfied us. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks on this Good Friday. You made it good. You made every day good because the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ makes everything well. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this message reverberates around the world. We pray, Heavenly Father, that those who hear this message accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Jesus, for coming here and doing what you had to do, for being willing to go to the cross, not your will, but our salvation be accomplished. And we thank you for doing that for us. We thank you that you did not come down. They were running around the bottom of that cross, wagging their heads and waving their fingers and saying all kinds of crazy stuff. But you wouldn't come down. You stayed there from the 6th to the 9th hour, from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. until God said, our Father said, I'm satisfied. The sin debt's paid. My holiness has been vindicated. My righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for doing what you did. Help us, Lord, to recognize what you did and to demonstrate we recognize it by living like you want us to. In your name we pray. Amen.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, But we get up, we fall down, but we get up, oh yes. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down, but we couldn't stay there and got up. Say now,
we fall down,
oh my,
but we get up.
Back
we fall down,
yeah, 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 yeah.
But we get up,
back up again.
We fall down,
oh my,
but
my,
we
my, we get back up again.
For a
thing
is just
a
sinner,
oh, yes, we know. But we can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of you. Oh,
we fall.
But we get back up again.
We fall down
sometimes, but we get back up again. Yes, we do that.
We
rise back up again.
For the
says in Proverbs 24:18, a just man falleth seven times,
but rises back up again. Now what makes him just, we in the church would call him wicked. If he falls seven times, one time we can understand, twice maybe, but seven times. Well, what makes him just from the Bible standpoint is that he has enough sense to realize that he can get back up. And not only just get back up, but get back in line. No matter where you've fallen from, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, it's not too late. He is so much in love with you that his mercy endures. His mercy is everlasting. It's not too late. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, God is still faithful and he's still just, even when we're unfaithful and when we're not just. He's so faithful and just to forgive you of every single solitary sin. No matter how many promises you've made and broken, no matter how many times you've done it over and over again, I'm a living witness. He will forgive you like he forgave me. He's just waiting on you to confess. Just say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. I'm not going to make you any more promises. You know my heart. I want to do right. Show me how. Take me back. Put me back in line. I love you. Teach me how to walk right. Break every habit. Loose me from every addiction. Come into my life and my heart and live in me and through me. I give you my life for the rest of my life. And just that quickly, you're forgiven. Just that quickly, you're healed. He's your God and you're his child. No condemnation. No condemnation. Don't remember the past sin because he's forgotten. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I am he that blots out your transgressions. And for mine own sake, I will not remember your sins. If he's forgotten them, then you forgive and forget too. You're healed. You're saved. You're whole. Jesus. Come on, Pastor Ryan.
I fell down, but I got up. I fell down, but I got up. I fell down. I got up, cause I found out that a saint is just a sinner who fell down. But it didn't stay there, and everyone lift those hands. The word is so clear, it simply states that if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and would believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead.
Good afternoon. I am Sister Sheila Overall, and I will be bringing your announcements for today. On tomorrow, Saturday, April 8th, we will have our Saturday church school at 9 a.m. with our Assistant Pastor Janice Tate will be a teacher for the class. The questions have been passed out. We pray that you have went over the questions and come ready and prepared for discussion. Following that Sunday school, we will have Associate Pastor Terrence Tate to deliver the word for that day in that service. Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. We will also be celebrating our 20th church anniversary of Running for Christ. Our very own praise team leading off with Associate Pastor James Tate along with the praise team will be bringing the songs and worship. Following that, we will have our morning worship service with our own Pastor O bringing a word on Resurrection Sunday, the last 40 days of the resurrection. That will be the message. We're asking that everyone that would like to come out, or we invite you to come out, and please be a part of our services for Resurrection Sunday and also our 20th anniversary. On Wednesday, Bible classes are held every Wednesday at 6 p.m. This Wednesday, we will have our own minister, Sarah Tate McClinton, teaching the class, Daniel through 10. The questions are available online. Friday, we have our own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn being the host of Bring Back the Family. We're asking you to join her in her awesome discussion about the children. We are also asking for prayers to all those that are sick, shut in, hurting, lonely, and distressed, and depressed, and sometimes confused during this time. And we just ask for prayer for them, those that have lost everything due to a calamity of tornadoes and floods and hurricanes. We also ask for prayer for all caregivers. We're asking for prayer for and healing to our very own mothers that we affectionately known as Mothers on the Move at Run for Christ. They are Mother Cheryl, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. We also ask for prayer for Deaconess Nicole, Deaconess Lisa, Nico, Dorothy, Gaither, and Ed Johnson, and Deacon Rayfield Rogers, and Elder Joseph Stevens, who had surgery and now is home recuperating. As far as bereavement, we would like to share in the loss of our own Mr. James Weathers, which is affectionately known as Bootsy to many, those that knew him as friends. He is a longtime resident of Ecorse, Michigan. His services will be held on Saturday, April 8th at 1 p.m. At 10:30 a.m., family hour, 11 o'clock, home going at First Missionary Baptist Church. Our prayers go out to the family, and he was a very close friend of Pastor O and myself, Sheila. We pray for him and his family today and in days to come. We also would like to share in the loss of the Norwood family, Sheila, myself, yours truly, Crystal and Sierra, and the loss of their brother and their uncle, Dwayne Norwood. The arrangements are for next Saturday, April 15th, at Kernan Funeral Home at 10204 4th Street in Lincoln Park, Michigan. The family hour is scheduled for 10:30 a.m. The memorial service will start at 11 a.m., and Pastor O will be officiating that service. We pray that you receive, we're blessed by the word today from our own Pastor O, and hope that you will come and hear him again on Sunday, which is the Resurrection Sunday. And just a little Easter thought, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That is John 3:16. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who paid the penalty for the sins of the world. Easter proves that God keeps his promises, Acts 13:32-33. Easter also proves that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that's Romans 1:4. Easter proves that God was satisfied with Christ's payment for our sins. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him so that your faith and hope are in God. That's 1 Peter 21. Easter proves that we shall live after death. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Easter proves that everyone will face judgment, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with judgment, justice, by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. That's Acts 17:31. And lastly, Easter proves whether you have true faith, that is, you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. That's Romans 10:9. The events celebrated at Easter changed the world. Invite Jesus into your heart, and your life will change. Jesus' resurrection is a guarantee of our own resurrection. We would like to thank everyone that tuned in today to our Good Friday service on Blog Talk Radio. We pray that you are blessed by Pastor O. And we just thank all of you for listening and tuning in. And we pray that also that you can come out on this coming Sunday, which is Resurrection Easter Sunday, at Running for Christ Ministries in-person service at the River Rouge High School. Thank you.
Okay. Amen. That was the announcements by my awesome wife, amen, who I'm extremely proud of, because Amen. She don't do stuff like that. And she actually came to me about it. And I know her, and I'm like, this got to be Jesus. And now I'm hearing, you know, that's why she called baby Holy Ghost, because I didn't know she had all that Easter means this, Easter means that. She had her own little devotional. Amen. Been listening to Crystal so long that Crystal, now she doing devotionals. Praise the Lord. Amen. It does a pastor's heart good to hear his wife, who he knows, don't do this kind of stuff, to do this kind of stuff. And talking about denying yourself and taking up the cross and following, that is awesome. And yeah, I'm laughing because if you knew my wife, she don't do this. And so this is strictly Jesus, okay? Amen. So God bless. And amen. Unbelievable. But all things work together for the good, right? Amen. Anyway, we thank her for those announcements, and we trust that you would govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. I just can't kind of get over this, you know, because she pushed all the way past herself. Amen, to do what she had to do. But anyway, we thank God for each and every one of you tuning in. I hope you know now why we call it Good Friday, because Jesus made it good. It was bad from Adam every single day from Adam until the day Jesus got up on that cross was a bad day. Okay, why? Because we weren't made right with God. We had no way to make our, and if you study the Old Testament, Israel, they had problems doing what God said. And that we're no different, thank God, for 1 John 1:9, because we got problems doing what God said. We don't even think it's realistic. But amen, he loves us anyway, and the Lord God provided a way for us to be saved where we could not mess it up. He couldn't put, that's why he told us all we have to do is believe. That's step one. You believe, like Minister Natrice Jackson say, just believe that Jesus died and was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and you're saved. That's it. You know, the stuff after that, you know, is a growth process, right? But before that, it's just Jesus died for our sins, and that makes it a good day. And that is what Pastor Janice Tate has taught us, the euangelion. It's a Greek word that means the gospel, the good news. Amen. And that is why we have this good news. My pastor used to preach this Easter sermon, Good News from the Cemetery. And, of course, the thought is, what kind of good news can come from the cemetery? What kind of good news can come from an old rugged cross? The news that our salvation, when Jesus says it's finished, do you know what was finished? God being mad at us, and something else I don't want you to miss. I know I'm overtime preaching. God said, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why did Jesus ask God to forgive us at that time, since he was dying on the cross to gain our forgiveness? I wonder what God was getting ready to do when he looked at his son on that old rugged, raggedy cross, going through all that he went through from the 6th to the 9th hour. And you know Jesus don't speak idle words. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm here to save them. They're here trying to kill their Savior. But let me go ahead on and wait till you give me permission, and I'll say it's finished. Our salvation was accomplished. It was totally completed. God cannot love you anymore. If God loves you more, then he never did love you, and he just started, because he loves us 100%. And as you heard my wife read about Easter and what it means, that is God's love to us. And because of that, guess what, brothers and sisters? Everything is ours. Everything. I wish you knew what that meant. Lord God, our Father, we thank you again, and we praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, for making everything belong to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's do this benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our Savior, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And the whole church said, amen. God bless you. God keep you.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine.